It's exciting. All right, so yes, I just want to quickly share just a couple of thoughts just to stir our hearts, and we're gonna just do some ministry and allow God to stir something in our hearts as we're gonna worship Him and really encounter Him tonight. Because I don't know if you've seen this in Scripture, but have you ever looked at Scripture and see Jesus and a sick person coming to Jesus, maybe a person that's got leprosy or any person coming to Jesus and Jesus looking at them, walking past them and saying, listen, that sickness that you had, you must actually go, you know, you must actually learn something with that sickness. You know, so go away, learn something, and then, you know, come back to me in a couple of years and then I'll heal you. Has anyone seen that? No, it doesn't happen. You know, when Jesus comes, when someone comes to Jesus, immediately in that moment, He touches them and He heals them. Many places in Scripture, it says that all that came, a couple of times, I think it's 4 or 5 times, it says, all the sick, all the oppressed, all those that were in need that came to Jesus was healed, was touched. Great, I'm glad you guys are getting excited. Are you excited to be the church tonight? Okay, we're going to be the church. We're not just going to do church. We're going to be the church. We're all going to participate. So let's get excited. I've been sharing a couple of weeks, in fact, 2 weeks, on a message that I've titled "From Victim to Victorious," and I want to just share a bit about it tonight, or just the third part of it. But I really believe that God wants to do something in us, because I've been sharing about it 2 Sundays already, but I still feel that many of us are not getting this. Going from a place to being a victim to being victorious. So some of us are sitting here, we're saying, you know, God has done something in my life. I've done the foundations. I've done things. He's worked in me. You know, so, and I know the head knowledge. I know that Christ has come to make us victorious. I know that Jesus has placed all things under His feet. So all authority belongs to us. In fact, Jesus says all authority in heaven and on earth are yours. We know that. We know that with our minds. But still, we walk the streets of Cape Town. We go to campus. We go to our workplaces. But we're not living as victorious ones. You know, and today we're gonna trust that God does it. The Holy Spirit comes and He stirs something in us to bring us to that place where we live as victorious ones. That we have it in our hearts. That we have it in our spirits. That it's not just here. It's not just in our heads. But it becomes reality. You know what, Jesus, the word Christian literally means to be a little Christ. So the pictures of this, and I really want us to understand something, because last week, who was here at last week's service? Quickly just indicate. Okay, last week we had an awesome service. Danielle came from Malmesbury. She said on, just the amazing testimony. I think the title of the message was Vessels of His Glory. Right, you guys remember she said that testimony of, you know, them going through lots of persecution and lots of difficulties, lots of sickness, but God has been faithful to them. So I just want to briefly start off, because it's, one can easily step out of that message and have the wrong perception because of the extreme situation that they've been through. So I want us to understand that before we can continue tonight. And the first thing is they've been through suffering. But now, the glory is not in the suffering. Do you guys agree? Where's the glory? The glory is in the victory. The glory is in overcoming the suffering. God does not get, and I want to say this very clearly, God does not get glory when His children suffer. God is not the Father that takes His little son or His little daughter go to the stove in the kitchen, put on the stove on maximum and put His hand on the stove saying, okay, you must learn something here. Never touch the stove. God is not like that. God is a good Father. God is good towards us. God does not want us to have suffering. He does not get glory in us getting suffering. As I said, when Jesus met, when was the encounter with Jesus, if you want to understand who God the Father is, then look at Jesus. Jesus is perfect theology. If you want to understand who is this God, who is this this almighty God that shaped the heavens. Sometimes it's such an abstract thought to us, but who is this God? Then just look at Jesus. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Jesus came to bring the perfect picture of who God the Father is. So if someone teaches you theology, and that theology is not seen in the person of Jesus, it's faulty. It's wrong. It's not true. So whatever theology you have, whatever people say to you, measure it unto the person of Jesus. In other words, does it inspire, not just does it allow, but does it inspire the healing of the sick? Does it inspire the raising of the dead? Does it inspire people getting delivered, set free? Because that is who Jesus is. He is the deliverer. He is the healer. He is not someone that heals or that delivers. He is the deliverer. And that deliverer is here tonight. I was so blessed by that dance because they danced the whole bit of my message that I'm sharing today. We're going to read a scripture. We're going to end off. And then God is going to do something in our hearts as we align, as we yield to the Holy Spirit. And He's working for us tonight. Who of you know that we're celebrating a very special day today in the calendar or the church calendar or the Hebrew calendar? Who knows what day is it? We're celebrating Pentecost today. We're celebrating the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church. Isn't that exciting? This is the church's birthday. Did you know that? Okay, so we're going to get excited. We're going to praise God. We're going to do all kinds of cool stuff. We're going to pray for the sick. Let's quickly check. Who here, sitting here, put up your hand if you are experiencing some illness at the moment or you've got some injury. Put up your hand quickly at the moment. Something that is not what Christ has purchased for us. Any sort of sickness, anything. Okay, now if you know someone that has a sickness, keep up your hands. Keep up your hands. If you know someone close to you, family member, or someone close to you, put up your hand as well. Okay, Manas has got two hands up at the back. Ivan has also got two hands. So we've got quite a couple of hands. So you see that the need is great amongst us, around us. Okay, Jesus is going to come to meet that need tonight. We're going to open up our hearts, open up this place, this atmosphere for Him to come and do it. I remember, I wanted to actually get Liana to share, but I'm just going to quickly share it. But was it three years ago, we did an SOS. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's a school of supernatural. Someone got a word, they brought the word, they said that they feel a pain in the shoulder and something about nerves. And immediately Liana realized, but that's her dad. But the dad wasn't in the actual meeting, but she realized that that's her dad and her dad needs to get healed. So she asked for praying, and people came, prayed for her, laid hands on her. And her dad had been having this problem where the nerve system in his shoulder had caused his whole arm to be numb at stages. So he's been to the doctor and he's been to, you know, to try to all different things just to sort out this arm. But in any case, so they prayed, and then Liana forgot about what happened, and then she went on, and about 2 or 3 weeks later, she phoned her dad, and she said, by the way, how's your arm doing? And he said, no, it's perfect. It's completely fine. There's nothing wrong with my arm. And then she said, but now, we prayed for you about 2 weeks ago. And then he started calculating, he tried to figure out, and he said, when was it exactly that you prayed for me? And he worked it out exactly. He was on a flight to Pakistan, and on that flight he got healed. It was exactly the same time that we prayed for him, and God had healed him. So sometimes God can even do stuff in a meeting such as this that has effects much beyond this. God is a God of the impossible. Amen? Right, are you guys excited? Okay, can we go to the next slide? Joel chapter 3 verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a warrior. Okay, God's going to do that in our spirits tonight. He's going to come and in our weakness, in that place of where we're honest with God, in that place where we confess our sins, in that place where we confess our weaknesses, God is going to come and bring His strength. But God wants an army. He doesn't just want a social club at church, but He wants an army. And tonight in us is going to make an army. Amen. Next slide. So just quickly, I want to just share quickly the last couple of times that I've preached. The first sermon was about the secret place, the garden, where we come to, in our quiet place, we come to meet with God, and we struggle in that place to come to a place where we hear His voice, we know His voice, more than just hearing. We don't struggle to hear His voice. It's natural. It's the most natural thing for us as Christians, as believers, but we know His voice. The second one was embracing your cross. And this is the thing about suffering, because you know what? Christians choose to go to their cross. And that's the big difference, because we're not denying the doctrine of suffering, because suffering is all over Scripture. Jesus even said that in this world you will have tribulation, but what is the difference? The difference is the fact that we're not victims, but we're victorious. We go to our suffering in victory. We go to our suffering like the apostles when they were beaten, they rejoiced. They were excited because they could see something bigger. They could see a picture. They could see into the heavenlies. We're going to talk about faith just now, but I want to just mention this. Scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. In other words, firstly, it's unseen. You can't see it. But it's still substance. All right? It's substance. In other words, it's these heavenly realities. These heavenly realities in the spiritual world that you and I cannot see. We cannot perceive it with our natural, with our five senses. But with the eyes of the Spirit, we can see into the spiritual world, call things that are real. It's not like we're imagining things. It's not like we're making things up. But it's real. We call those heavenly realities and we make them manifest in this world. Are you guys excited? We're going to do that tonight. God is going to show us heaven realities, and we're going to take that substance, that evidence, and we're going to see it manifest here amongst us. So we were talking about the cross, Stephen going to the cross, seeing a picture, seeing into the heavenly, seeing Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And as he went to his death into eternity, he shouted, he said, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing." He could see into a different world, into a different dimension. He could have the peace of God. It didn't make sense. It didn't make sense for him, you know, to go through that, but still be full of joy and so full of the Holy Spirit that he could forgive the very people that killed him. And then tonight, resurrection power. See, that's why I'm so excited about the rainbow dance. Because God is the God of the resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead, and the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead live inside of us. That Holy Spirit is here. All right, and that's what we're talking about, being victorious. Jesus said we're going to do greater works than Him. Now that's living victorious. See, the picture is this. Jesus coming from heaven's throne, coming, stepping into this world. It's a fallen world. The world, the Scripture says, is in the sway of the wicked one. Jesus steps into this broken world knowing that He's going to have to suffer. But He takes that suffering because of the joy that was set before Him. He goes to the cross. He dies victorious. You know, Jesus never lived as a victim. He always lived victorious. And you and I are little Christians. Now that Jesus has gone, He said it was better for Him to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come, so that you and I can be in this life as little Christs, as little anointed ones, doing the same work that He has done, taking our cross, going to the cross, but in that being victorious, seeing the kingdom come. You know what Scripture says? That the kingdom comes when the finger of God is there. What is the finger of God? It's the presence of God. But it's more than the presence of God. It's God acting on our behalf. God coming to act for us. And seeing signs and wonders. The actual Scripture that Jesus talks about, the finger of God, talks about deliverance. It talks about casting of demons. He says, when the finger of God has come, the kingdom has come upon you. We're going to invite God to come and act on our behalf, to come and bring His finger into this place tonight. So here's the Scripture that we're going to read. And that God is going to stir in us as we're going to worship tonight. Ezekiel, God comes to him in a vision, but now I just want to quickly sketch the context. The Jewish people, the nation of Israel, was at a stage where they were captive. They were captive for 10 years. Now, just before that, there were lots of prophets in Jerusalem, and the people were far away from God in their hearts. They were not serving God. They were walking away. And then the people, prophets came to the people and they said, but listen, God is happy with you. But Jerusalem was still fine. So they believed the prophets, these false prophets that said everything is fine, you know, everything is good. And often we get false prophets even today that says, you know, that everything's fine, the way that we're living, the powerlessness of the church, it's fine. We must just continue. But these false prophets gave the people a sense of false hope. Okay? So what happened is Jerusalem eventually, because these people continued, persisted, leaving God, not being with Him, they persisted in their sin. God came and He destroyed Jerusalem. Now, what happened after that is the people went into a depression. In fact, one of the commentators on the scripture says that the people, they went from the one extreme to the other extreme, from being very, very compliant, very, you know, in a place of peace, you know, everything. It was a false peace. But then from the other side, where they went into a sort of a depression, when they said, we're going to see where the scripture comes, the people said, everything is hopeless. Everything is hopeless. Jerusalem is destroyed. God is not with us. There's nothing. We are like dry bones. That's what the people said. So Ezekiel comes, he picks up on the scripture, or this thing that the people said, we like dry bones. In other words, there's no life in us. There's nothing. There's no power in us to be able to continue. We've lost hope. It's a hopeless case. And then Ezekiel comes. God comes. He takes Ezekiel. He gives him this vision. He shows him a valley. And in this valley, there's a valley of dry bones. And it says it was very dry. The bones that were lying there. It was an army of skeletons that was in this valley. And then this is what the scripture says. 37 verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. Next verse, please. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And then I will bring you into the land of Israel. So it talks about this picture of absolute, utterless, no hope. And then the prophet comes. God comes with his breath. That word breath in the Hebrew is the word rauch, which means the breath of God, the spirit of God. That word, it means the spirit of God, or it can be translated into both. So it's the spirit of the God that comes to the dry bones. And I just want to come back quickly to what happened at Pentecost. Bring us into the thoughts in the minds of the disciples, because now what happened is, as we saw earlier, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, then he faced the cross, went to the cross, died, was resurrected on the third day, appeared to the disciples, and then he was ascended. Now imagine being one of the disciples. Okay, now Jesus said to them, go and wait in Jerusalem. Now imagine that. Imagine being there, You just ran away from the cross. You ran away from Jesus. You forsook him. Now Jesus appeared to you and then he left. What now? Imagine how confused these disciples must have been. And just put yourself in their shoes, because now they've been waiting and it's now 40 days. You know, so that's what we're celebrating. 40 days after Passover was Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came. But now think of being one of those disciples. Imagine the confusion. Now Jesus has left us. He's not here. He's gone. And then suddenly, as we know the scriptures, Acts chapter 2, like a mighty rushing wind came the breath of God, the Spirit of the God came and breathed over them. Flames of fire came upon them. And they started speaking in tongues. What happened? The Spirit of the God of God came and took people, ordinary people, hopeless people, people that ran away from Jesus, ran away from the cross, people that had no confidence. They were fishermen. They had no success in this life. He came to them and he breathed life upon them. And they started living. And they lived. Because Christ did something in them. So we're gonna start worshiping now. And if I can ask the band to please come up. But before we do that, I want to ask all of us to be very honest tonight. Because firstly, as Paul says, in my weakness, he is strong. So before God can come and bring his breath, the disciples need to spend 40 days in the upper room, in a small little room together, where they're unified, where they have to confront themselves with the truth of where they are and what the situation is, and also the truth that all of them have left Jesus, they ran away. Thomas, think of Thomas. Thomas was the one that said, but I'm not going to believe until I see Jesus. Now imagine him condemning himself. So they're in this room. Imagine the dynamics of what happens as Thomas says, but no, I feel so bad because look at what happened. But before we're going to worship tonight, I want to ask, if you're sitting here and you're feeling burnt out, and you felt burnt out over the last week or the last 2 weeks, or you just feel that there's no strength inside of you, then I want you to stand. Right now, where you are. If you've been feeling tired, if you've been feeling burnt out, stand. Okay? Thanks for your honesty. Faith is an active word. It's something that we do. James says, show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith with works. You cannot say that you have faith unless you do something. The thing is, I really believe that in this world, and Liana said this so powerfully the other day. She says, when we talk about suffering, when we talk about what Daniel spoke about last week, about all the suffering, all the sickness that's been over them as a family. What God does not want that suffering, but what God wants for us is for there to be faith in this world that there's no suffering. And I truly believe that there's enough faith in this world to bring this world to no suffering. There's enough faith. Jesus has given us all a measure of faith. But what is the problem? The problem is that the faith that God has given us, and even to the church, the faith is not activated. He's given us that measure of faith. He's given us the ability to flow in miracles and signs and wonders. Now, this is what Liana said. She said, but maybe in that situation, there's not enough specific faith, but there's enough general faith for that situation to be not there. So the problem is not with the specific situation. I've been in situations in my personal life where I did not have enough faith. I was sick with malaria a couple of times. I could not have enough faith to see myself healed. But you know what? There's enough general faith, global faith, for that not to be the case. You know, even in a room like this, God has made provision for every one of our needs. So I also want you to stand tonight. If you realize that your faith is not activated as it should be. And I want to actually say this. And there's a bit of a culture in church where Someone has to activate your faith. So for instance, a leader needs to come and he needs to activate the faith that I have. But I want to say to you clearly today that it's yours and my responsibility to activate the faith that we have. It's not God's responsibility. And there's this culture in church that we call false humility. False humility is this. It's Moses standing at the Red Sea, standing there with the staff. God saying to him, Moses, open up the Red Sea. And him saying, Lord, come and open up the Red Sea. What he was to, true humility and true doing what God has called him to do is to take the rod that he has and to strike the Red Sea. And so many times you and I are in this culture of where we put the responsibility that God has placed on us, we put it back on God. And the result of that is our faith, the faith that God has given us, is not activated. Faith has got legs. It's an active word. So if your faith needs to be activated, please stand. We're going to ask that God would come and do something in our hearts. Let's just stretch out our hands. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. We're going to do a declaration now. We're going to first focus on Jesus. We're going to focus on who He is. Declare His goodness. And what God is going to do in us, He's going to give us the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He's going to give us words of declaration. Words that you and I are going to declare over this room. It's so powerful when you and I come. We declare things over the natural that affects the atmosphere. That's what faith means. It means to take those heavenly realities to make it manifest in the natural. So God is going to give you words to speak. And you're going to prophesy. You're going to just speak it. If you just think of natural words, just speak those words. That's what prophecy means. It means speaking forth the will of God. So I'm not going to pray for us tonight because all of us, we're going to all pray for ourselves because we're going to declare it. But what I'm going to pray for us is that the Holy Spirit would begin to stir. Show us the words that He wants us to speak. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Breath of God, won't you just pray in the Spirit? Where you're standing, let's engage God. Let's not be spectators. Let's be the church. Let's be participators. If you're not standing, then I want you to put your faith, activate your faith for the people that are standing. Stretch out your hands towards them.
I used to have a problem with my wrist. This tendon used to slip over the bone sometimes, and it gets stuck, and then I have to put it back. It was quite sore, so I couldn't do push-ups or anything like that. And a few people prayed for me, and it was quite a bit after the last time people prayed for me. I was lying in bed one night, and the idea came to my mind. I must turn my hand like this, pull my thumb like this, and I can't remember exactly what I did, but the tendon slipped back into its place, and I haven't had the pain since then. So God uses different ways. He doesn't always do it immediately, but He's faithful.
Hi. In the end of my second year, I started getting very sick. I was tired and had lots of migraines and sleeplessness and backache, and it just got worse and worse. In my December holiday, there were days that I just was lying in bed because my legs were so sore. And in the beginning of my third year, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And what it basically means is that you've got pain all over your body, the whole time. It is the most intense pain that you can imagine. You just have it all the time. And with that goes migraines, and you can't sleep at nights and everything. But when I went to the doctor and I finally got diagnosed, I stood in the parking lot afterwards and I said to my mom, don't worry, I'm going to get healed because it's a lifelong disease. And so people started praying for me, everyone in res and church, but I didn't get instant healing. I had to stop my studies. It got a bit worse. But I just kept trusting God, and wherever there was opportunity for prayer, I just went for prayer. And God just taught me so much in that time, and He just gradually healed and healed me. And then finally, I went to a healing conference where I just got taught so much about healing, and my faith was just built up so much. And finally, I got that instant healing, and I was like on a mattress, so I just saw it. I was on a mattress lying there, like very sick, very sore. And as I got that healing power in my body, like I jumped up and I ran and I did a cartwheel and fell. And yes, like after that, like, God has just like showed me so many times that He's just so amazing, and that our faith must just be strong. And what I've really learned is it's not about how strong my faith is or how good I am or how much sin I've done or not done. It's all about Him, and we must just take it.
When I was 16 years old, I had toothache. Then it was for the very first time in my family something like that. So it was quite painful because I remember I was crying in the evenings because it became so big and I couldn't sing as I was singing at church. So we went to the doctor, to the dentist, and then they, after the photography and everything, they had to take off one of my teeth. Then my dad said that, "Now I'm going to pray for you." So when we went home, he never called me like, "Come, I'm going to pray for you." From that very day till today, it was God.
Last year I was I did my foundations, and it was, I'm not sure if it was in foundation 4 or it was SOS. Yes, it was SOS. We were there with Pastor Sears, and it was a good time. But what happened was there was a session where they were doing altar calls, but somebody was in front, and I don't know who it was, but they just said, you know, somebody has got a pain on their right knee. And I was sitting there, hadn't told anyone about my pain in my right knee, and it had been there for quite a long time. I fell off a cliff and at home plowing the fields, but then it was my kneecap, it sort of like was moving all around, and just it was always painful. At the gym, I never used to do the leg machines, and I just leave those. So basically they said, okay, well, that person should come up. So I was like, so first of all, I was surprised by the fact that, you know, somebody knew about, because nobody else was there and I knew it was me. So I went, and I got prayed for by, I forgot who, Johan. Yeah, I prayed with Johan, and while we were praying, because he's not so tall, but he when we were praying, he had his hand on my knee, and we were praying, and like I was really there. I was like, I really would like this knee to go away, and I really want. And at that moment, the kneecap clicked, and so like I didn't want to say anything, and he didn't want to say anything because we both heard it click into its position. And so I said to him, "Okay, did you hear that?" He said, "Did you hear it as well?" I said, "Yes." So after that, I got healed from my knee. So I was like, okay, and I started jogging. And then from there onwards, the next week they asked, "How's your knee looking?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's fine." But since then, up until now, my knee is fine. I've got no problems with my knee. I started the gym now. I'm doing leg presses of 100 and odd kgs, and it's okay. I'm good. God is great.
When I arrived this evening,
I'd been starting to feel quite sick yesterday already. My tonsils were all swollen up, and I that feeling of a flu and a sore throat. And then I had some people pray for me when I got in, and it was much better, but my throat was still really sore. And then now someone came to pray for me, and all the pain in my throat left, and then it moved to my head. And then she started praying for my head, and the pain there moved, and then moved to the back of my throat. And then she prayed for that. Now all the pain is gone. Hallelujah.
Hi, everyone. Peno and Jeannie prayed for me. I struggle a lot with anxiety, like even during worship. Like if something's like extremely fast or in pressure, or like my body's like put in an uncomfortable position or whatever, then like I get these pains, like it's like someone's sort of like almost stabbing me. And I even felt it while I was worshiping. And before Pastor Aino like came and said that we're gonna do all of this, I felt the Lord say that you're gonna leave here with no more stress, depression, and anxiety. And when they were praying for me, like I felt a lot of heat, like where I get the chest pains. And they prayed again, and then like it felt cool after that, and like I just felt so much peace. Like it was like the Holy Spirit was like, well, it is in my body, but like it was like it's like almost exploding type. And like, sure, I just felt the peace of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hi, everybody.
I'm in the back.
When I came in today, I came in experiencing back problems. It's like a problem that I've had for a long time. And I got prayed for today, and my back, I don't feel any pain in my back. I can move.
Hi. I really didn't think I'll be part of the people standing out here today. When the prayer started, I wasn't sure. I just hoped, and I was like that guy in the Bible that said, Jesus, if you will, I know you can make me whole. And I'm here at this moment because Lord said, I will be made whole. And there's a lot of things I've been struggling with over the past week. Being so ill, being bad, I haven't been able to work. And there's like really personal stuff I've also been struggling with. And I have issues with fear and insecurities. And while they were praying for me, it was, I don't know, I can't explain it. It's just this feeling. It's just, I don't know the right words to use. But like this peace, like everything is going to be all right. And I'm not here because I believe I've been made whole. I'm here because I know I've been made whole.
Praise the Lord.
Hi. Before I come, the past week I was a little bit sick, like, and I have to go to the doctor. It was very expensive, and then And I had problems with my lungs, like it was sore, and then my throat also, like I couldn't swallow properly. If I swallow, I would feel like something is blocking, like, and okay. And so today, Rufiwa, and she said that when she prayed for me, and the first time I couldn't feel anything, and the second time I start to feel hot in my hands, and then she asked me how you feel. I feel like I swallow now, I don't feel anything, like feels like it's so free, you know. And then she told me actually when she came at church, she felt like someone has something in her throat, and then I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Okay, now we're gonna quickly pray for people that we know that are sick. So if that's you, just raise your hand if you're standing. We're just gonna get people surrounding them to pray quickly for those people. But before we start, we just have a quick word that Carla's gonna share.
Okay, so earlier in worship, God gave me a word of knowledge. There's someone whose father has brain cancer, and God wants to heal your father, but he wants you to pray for your father. So you don't have to make a big spectacle about it. Just where you're standing, God wants you to pray for your father.
Let's quickly pray with these people. Is there someone like that? Won't you just show us? Right at the back. So, Colin, won't you go and pray there at the back? We're going to worship just now. I know it's getting a bit late, but God is really here and moving. If you absolutely need to go, then you need to go and study or something. But we're not going to box God and say that He must function in this time in our schedules. Because if revival breaks out, then we're going to worship through the nights. We're going to continue. So we're going to still worship. And I really believe that God wants to do a work in our hearts where we live like this. Because this is victorious living. This is appropriating the promise. And God has given us very many promises in this church. And we must actually begin to take hold of the promises that He has for us. And see it being done in our midst.
I just quickly want to share about Reino's sermon. The second one from victim to victorious. I was actually doing the kiddies' church, so I didn't hear the sermon. But Yaku told me I need to go listen to it because it's for me. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went to listen to it, and then I went to, just before I went to the Awakened conference, I had an expectation that the Lord would heal me so that in the situation where my parents are currently in a divorce, that I could be in it, but I could be whole and I could. Yeah, so I had that expectation, and I really experienced it over the weekend. I just felt Him make me whole it was amazing. But then last week, my dad, he's never done this, the SMS'd and he said he wants to have a family meeting. First of all, we're not really a family anymore, so I was like, okay, what's going to happen now? Then we all came to my mom's house, and he was sitting there, and he basically apologized to each one of us for all the pain that he's caused us. But just before I arrived there, I felt the Lord ask me, are you ready to let go of being a victim? Are you ready to let go of this thing of an excuse of, or not excuse, but this right to feel like to be so sore? So I said yes. And so it was amazing to sit there and to see my dad apologize, but I could truly say that I forgive you. And he said things like, he never wants to hurt us again, but I just could tell him that I trust in the grace that the Lord's going to work in your life for that promise. You know, like, it's not, I'm not going to hold you to your word because of your human. And he went to church today, and he made an appointment for like a personal healing ministry to start next week. So, yes, praise the Lord.
Wow. We're going to worship God now. But I really believe, like Inga said, that God wants to complete that work of wholeness in us. He wants to complete that work of restoration. So the only way that it's possible is through the healing presence. Is when we invite the healing presence into our hearts and to continuously practice that presence of God healing us. So I want to just pray a prayer for us, and then we're going to just enter a time of worship and then yield to God. The only thing that we can do as believers is yield to the Holy Spirit. We get baptized, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, but then there's a continuous place when you and I need to yield to God. In other words, we make ourselves vulnerable. We cannot be in a love relationship ever unless we make ourselves vulnerable. You cannot be in any relationship, in fact, unless you've made yourself vulnerable, unless you've made yourself open to the chance of being hurt. Okay, so we're gonna do that. And I want to pray for us as we're going to enter worship. But that all of us come to a place of vulnerability before God. And then we practice, we invite the presence of God to come instead. He's going to become our strength in our weakness, in that place. Thank you for Inga. Thank you, Inga, for that testimony. It was so powerful. So let's pray. Father, invite your presence, your dwelling presence amongst us tonight, Lord. We thank you that you want to be with your people. You want to dwell in our hearts. But you want to have whole people. So we invite you, Lord, as that healing presence around us, in us, through us, to make us strong, Father. We declare that scripture over us, that word, Lord. We say, let the weak be strong now. in Jesus' name. We say, beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks, into spears, Father. Thank you that you make an army of your people, an army of warriors to your glory, Father. It's not the suffering that is glorious to you. It's the victory that is glorious. It's if you, your sons and your daughters are victorious in this life, that brings honor to the name of Jesus. So we invite you, Holy Spirit. Come and be the breath of God. Come and breathe over us right now. Breathe over us. In Jesus' name.
I just want to share a vision I got while we're praying now. I saw absolute darkness, and I saw Jesus taking my hand, and I believe it's for the church. He took our hand and he was leading us through darkness, and he reminded me of a vision he gave me while I was at awakening. Someone said we should give our hearts, put our hearts in Jesus' hands, and Jesus was holding his hands out like this, and I put my heart like on his hands, and I wanted to still cover it with my hands, and he laughed at me, and he said how can you think that something will happen to your heart if it's in my hands? And he said, and we laughed together at the thought of the disciples that were worried they'd sink if Jesus is in their boat. Like, he's like, I'm Jesus. Like, that can't happen when I'm around. And he just said, like, to trust him when he will give us. And he led me through this darkness, and there was this pile of gold. And he said he wanted to give us gold hidden in dark places. And then suddenly I actually stood in this pile of gold, and I was just surrounded by gold around, and there was no darkness because the gold was so shiny. Was just euphoric, like this euphoric kind of a, like just gold all around, and for some, you know, like, yeah, I just felt the gold is not monetary money or whatever specifically, but it could be souls, or I was specifically paying for my dad's salvation or whatever it is. But God wants to give us treasures that are in places that seem so dark that there's no hope, but he actually wants to give us those treasures.
I saw us as the bride, but then I asked God, but what actually is it? What is the bride? You saying to us we is bride, and what does it mean? What does it look like really? And then I saw him as a carpenter, and he was busy chipping away at some wood. And as he chipped away at the wood, it started to form a heart, a wooden heart. And I just heard him saying, I'm fashioning you by hand. I'm working with this church. I'm fashioning you by hand like a carpenter. And I'm forming you to look like my heart. And then as this heart became fully formed, just it was like a keyhole that unlocked doors. All these doors just started to open. And I just felt him really saying, as you begin to allow me to fashion you as a carpenter, to look like my heart, doors to the kingdom will begin to open. It's you looking like my heart that's going to open up those doors.
Being spoken about doors, I'm talking about vocal cords. And I think it's the same thing. I had a dream last night where I was surrounded in a room by lots of people involved in New Age stuff or weird, you know, occultic stuff, and I was trying to take authority and pray for people and try and protect people from getting into bondages. And every time I opened my mouth, I felt like I was being choked or I couldn't get words out, and I was trying to, you know, take authority in the name of Jesus, and I couldn't speak. I couldn't. It was very frustrating. It kept happening over and over. And I just felt for myself and others in the church that you could feel that your voice has been hindered, like, you know, when you've got a cold, your vocal cords are swollen, you can't speak with, you know, power, with any effect. So, and those doors that Kathleen's been speaking about being opened, just again, just if you know the anatomy of the vocal cords, it has like a little opening in the middle, so it's like a door that opens to allow air to flow through it to create sound. So we want the air that the Lord gives us, the breath, the spirit that he gives us, to flow out of our mouths and be a voice, like John the Baptist was a voice in the wilderness preparing the way for the Lord.
Let's just respond to those words as we're going to close the service. Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord, that you're the master worker, Lord. That you're making a masterpiece of your church, Lord. You're doing an incredible work. So, Father, we thank you this evening, Father, as we come to put our hearts in your hands, as we come to trust you, as we come to make ourselves vulnerable, Father, that, Lord, you come to establish us, Lord. You come to make us, Lord, shine in dark places, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you give us the ability to speak your will, Father, to not hold back, Father. But, Father, thank you, Lord, that as your kingdom has come here today, Lord, in this service, as the finger of God moved in healing, Father, and is even busy moving still, Father. We thank you, Father, that we can be vessels to your glory, Father, to this city. As we go from this place, that, Lord, not only will we be victorious in this place, Lord, but we'll be victorious in every sphere of life, every place that we go into, every workplace, every classroom, Father, every social gathering, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you come to shake this place. You come to shake the nations, Lord. You come to shake the city, Lord. We invite you, Lord, to come and do that, Lord, to come and use us as your vessels to your glory. Thank you, Jesus, that you are glorified in our victory. So, Father, right now I pray for victories in this place, Lord. In this week as we go, Father, thank you for divine appointments, but Lord, just not just appointments where we can see your hand, Lord, but appointments where transformation happens in the moment. In the instant, Lord, you're going to show us people that we need to pray for healing. Lord, you're going to show us people that we need to see the kingdom come, the finger of God. Demons are going to flee, Father, as Lord, your hand moves upon us. And Father, we declare tonight in the name of Jesus that you have not given us a spirit of fear, of timidity, but you have given us a spirit of boldness, of power, and of love, and of a sound mind, Father, that we can go sound-minded into the world and declare the good works of the Lord. We say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, Father, tonight as we're celebrating Pentecost. That, Lord, we'll yield to your work. We'll yield to you, Holy Spirit, once again. We make that decision to partner with the Spirit of the living God. And we bless you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Everyone says, amen.